take your Bibles again and turn with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I've entitled this message, The Reconciliation of the Rebel. The Reconciliation of the Rebel. Begin our reading in verse 10. Scripture says, Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Now why are they in this condition? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. As we have discussed this psalm now a couple of times together, we know that this psalm is written to the redeemed for the purpose of giving thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of his enemy. You that have been redeemed, this is the word of God to you. Give thanks. Give thanks. This morning I woke up with a bunch of murmurs. I had a lot to complain about. And I couldn't wait to get started. Would to God I had a thankful heart. I would not have room to complain. Oh, give thanks because He is good. What's the proof of His goodness? He hath redeemed us from the hand of our enemy. What's the proof of His redemption? Verse 2, and gathered them. This is the proof of our redemption, is that we were lost and He gathered us. He found us. He saved us. Therefore, isn't it just reasonable to give thanks? Like I said, oftentimes I'm not reasonable. I'm very unreasonable. May God give us hearts. This is why it's written. He says, oh, give thanks because what? We're not prone to it. If we were prone to it, why would He say it? Why would He remind us to give thanks? Because we are prone to murmur and not give thanks. What are we to give thanks for? He hath redeemed us. There's the sole reason. If you don't have any other reason to give thanks, this is the most valuable thing you possess. He hath redeemed us and gathered us. Behold the goodness of God. Behold the goodness of God that He purposed to do this. You weren't redeemed on accident. You were redeemed on purpose. His purpose. He purposed to do this. In goodness and love, the Son of God purposed to be our surety. The goodness of Christ is revealed in His offering for sin, that He suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Consider then the cost of this redemption. If we're to give thanks, we have to know how valuable this redemption is. There's a hymn that I love to hear sing. I guess I don't sing it. Nobody, but we don't sing it here. I don't think we have the music. But it says, Behold the man upon the cross. my sins upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. His dying breath hath brought me life.
I know He's finished.
Don't you have reason to give thanks? If my salvation's finished, I have reason to give thanks. It's finished. Our redemption of our souls has been accomplished. God has, by Christ, has exacted full redemption payment for our sins. And God, willing to testify of His perfection, raised Him from the dead, where He is now ascended to the right hand of God, having all power given to Him for this express purpose, to give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Therefore, this is why He has gathered us. And know this, be thankful concerning this, that all He has redeemed, He will gather. All Christ redeemed, He will gather. There is not one that shall not be gathered to Him. He told us that of all that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing. This is our Savior. And behold the great things that He has done. We could never have redeemed ourselves. We could have never gathered ourselves to God. We would have never loved Him had He not loved us. And we could never endure to the end in faith unless He keeps us. Peter said this, who are kept. Isn't that a beautiful word? I like that. Kept. What keeps you? Why do you keep coming to Christ? Why do you keep believing on Christ? Simply this. You are kept, not by your power. Isn't that good? I often, when I think about my power, I fear. Because I don't have power to keep myself. We are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Now, as I've told you then, in verses 4 through down through verse 31, we now begin to see these pictures and types of those who have been redeemed, those who have been gathered. And the first one we went over is the wanderer, verses 3 through 9. They wandered about in a solitary way, a desolate way. Hungry and thirsty, they fainted within themselves. That's exactly our experience. We wandered about. We had lost a way. We could not find a way. We wandered. Until when? Until we ran out of food. Until we ran out of hope. God brought us to the end of ourselves. And then what? They cried unto Him. They cried unto the Lord and He delivered them. He gave us food to eat. What is our food? Our necessary food. What is your necessary food? Is it not the bread of life? It is Jesus Christ. That is my necessary food. And the second one we are going to look at tonight, verses 10 through verse 16, this analogy of the rebel. Look at that again in verse 10. He says, and such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being found in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the Lord. They rebelled. So tonight I want us to see we who have been gathered. You have been gathered. When I talk about the rebel, you know this, that I'm talking about us. I know all men are rebels. But the important thing is for the redeemed of the Lord to remember who we are. We by nature were rebels. And I want to see 4 points concerning the rebel. First of all, the character of the rebel. Secondly, the position of the rebel. Where is he? Where's this rebel who rebelled against God? And then thirdly, I want us to see the reconciliation of this rebel. How he's reconciled to God. And thirdly, the deliverance of it. Deliverance of this rebel. Now, who is the rebel? They rebelled against the Word of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. The next character that the Lord deals with is the fool. The fool. The fool and the rebel have many things in common. They both contemn the Word of God. They both despise the Word of God. But the difference between the fool and the rebel is that the fool does it unknowingly. The fool is one who is deceived. But the rebel is one who does it knowing full well he does it. You can see this in Adam and Eve. These two. Remember, our mother was deceived. And we look at her conversation with the enemy and we say what? She was foolish. She was foolish to talk to him. She was foolish. And she was foolish, so foolish she was deceived as to sin. That's what 1 Timothy 2:14 says, that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. But now Adam, he's a different character. He's not a fool. He's a rebel. He did it with his eyes wide open. He willingly, knowingly rebelled against God. And because of his rebellion, every one of us are born with this same heart. A heart of rebellion. A heart of rebellion. Consider what Romans 8 verse 7 says, "For the carnal mind is enmity against God." What is that but rebellion? Hatred. We are born into this world, we are born haters of God. How do you know? "For it is not subject." In rebellion, it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. You see, all of us are born with some understanding of God and His law. This is plainly covered in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. The Apostle Paul tells us, "That which is known of God is manifest to us. It's showed unto us. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world being clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because when they knew God, they rebelled." What men know about God, naturally, they rebel against it. They glorify Him not as God, neither are thankful. And because of this rebellion, what? They became fools. You see? Because of what they knew they rebelled against, then they became fools because of it. Why? Because the law of God is written in our hearts. It's written in your hearts. So then no one is without excuse. So then we, knowing the law of God, we knowing the power of God, the deity of God, the create by the things that are created, what does men do with it? What do they do with this knowledge? They rebel. What do they say? "There's no creator." You realize how moronic that is, right? You realize how utterly foolish that is. They know it in their hearts, yet they rebel against it. But remember, our text is speaking to us. Because what they do, we did. What they do, we did. And it was worse. Worse. fact, it is this rebellious nature that God finds every one of His elect people. Is it not true when we were gathered that God found us as rebels? And this is what makes a rebel. Look what the Word of God says makes a rebel. They rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. What does a rebel do is he takes what's known of God and throws it behind his back. Knowingly. Willingly. But more than anything else, this is speaking of the gospel of Christ. What is the counsel of God to sinners? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And what do men do with this knowledge? They contemn the counsel of the Most High. They will not come to Christ. They will not come to Christ. We know this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. But I tell you of a perfect righteousness. I tell you of a perfect redemption. I tell you of a perfect salvation. Something that God has already accomplished. That Jesus Christ is the only hope for the sinner. Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. What is the way of the wicked? It's rebellion. Forsake your rebellious way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord and He will have mercy. You know what men despise? They despise mercy. What men by nature want is merit. So then all who refuse to come to Christ are nothing but rebels. Rebels. The gospel says, lay down your arms. Lay down your arms. Come to Christ. But to refuse is nothing but treason. Somebody asked me recently, you mean to tell me if this person that I know, who is a good person, they do all of these good things, they're really a kind and gentle, and they don't hurt anybody, and they really try to take care of everybody. You mean to tell me if they don't believe on Jesus Christ, they'll die and go to hell? Yes! You know why? They contemn the counsel of the Most High. They rebel against the counsel of God. It's not a small thing, friends. So this is the rebel. This is the heart of the rebel. To contemn the counsel, to defy God. To not believe on Christ is to defy God. It is to be in rebellion. Secondly, the position of the rebel. Look at verse 10. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. When man is living in rebellion, he believes himself to be wise and free. Takes the Word of God and the counsel of God and sets his own counsel above God's. God says, believe my son. And a man says, well, I don't like that. I think, you know, maybe believing your son is part of it. But I need to do something else. So he sets his own counsel above God's. He takes the Word of God in his own rebellion and casts it behind his back. What are men supposed to accomplish by this? I know they don't think this through. What do you suppose they accomplish? Take this word and they throw it behind their back and they just... What are they supposed to accomplish by that? Do they think that by putting this... I remember watching this show, and this guy had a girlfriend, and then he was kissing his girlfriend, and he had a picture of Jesus, and he turned the picture down. That's what they think of him. What do they suppose by doing this rebellion? I remember what Jesus said to Saul. He said, Why do you kick against a prick? Yet men do in rebellion. Is this not how men talk in rebellion? I'll have my own way. I'll have my own way. What was that song by Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. Oh, yes, you did. And today's in hell. Okay? He did it his way. Why? It's rebellion. That's the heart of man. To do it their own way. The rebel is one, listen, he is not free as he supposed, but rather is enslaved. He is enslaved and he is bound, listen, sitting in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction. All men who are in rebellion against God are as one that is in a dungeon under the sentence of death, and yet they are blind to see their chains. They cannot see. They feel as though sin is something that frees them, when it's actually something that binds them. Chains them to the justice of God. And so then men, by nature being rebels, could never free themselves from the guilt of sin. They cannot free themselves from the power of sin. And they cannot free themselves from the presence of sin. Every one of you who have been redeemed, have you not tried to free yourself? Can you escape your sin? Can you unchain yourself? Therefore, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. Rebel. The only hope then for the sinner in such a position is that the glory of God should shine out of the darkness. That God should shine the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in their hearts. Because this is the condition and position of every rebel that Jesus saves. Every one of you that's saved, you understand what it is to be a rebel. And you understand what it is to sit in darkness. You know what it is to be chained to religion. Don't you? Trying to always save yourself and never find peace. Never find contentment. Always. The only hope is that Jesus Christ come and give you light. And then this is the third thing, the conversion or the reconciliation of the rebel. This is true of all men, that we are all rebels and we are all sitting in darkness. But what makes the difference between those of us who have been redeemed, those who have us been saved, is simply this. God made choice among us. The only reason we are sitting here redeemed, the only reason we rebels were converted, we rebels are now made servants of God, is because God made choice. Because God, from the beginning, hath chosen us in Christ. Purpose that we should be holy. And because of that, Christ came and redeemed us by the blood of His cross. Therefore, it is of necessity that the Spirit of God gathered us. It was of necessity, though we were in rebellion, Though we were under the bondage of sin, yet it was the purpose and will of God to save rebels. Rebels. We like that scripture in Psalm 110. He hath made us willing in the day of His power. We were rebels. We were unwilling. We contemned the counsel of the Most High. We shook our fists in the face of God. And yet, because of His eternal grace and mercy toward us, He made this rebel willing. A willing subject. How do you do that? Look at verse 12. Therefore, He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. If God is ever going to make a rebel willing, He must bring him down. This is always the way. There is no other way. In order for a rebel to be made subject, the rebel, which is by nature proud, must be abased. He must be abased. I was witnessing to a woman this last week, and she was really upset at me because I kept putting myself down. She said, Why do you keep putting yourself down? I don't understand. He said, I don't like that when you put yourself down. I said, you know what? I can't exalt God if I'm exalting myself. One of us has to be abased, and the other has to be exalted. And so what does God do? In order to exalt His Son, He abases the sinner. He brings him down with labor. Isn't this how He brought us down? We saw our need, but yet we could not stop rebelling. We could not cease from sinning. We could not free ourselves. The bars of iron were too thick. The chains were too heavy. We could not free ourselves. And then we came to this point. There's no hope for me. I know God is good for it to Israel, but as for me, I have no hope. Have you ever been there? That's where God brings sinners, rebels. He brings them to the end of themselves. That there is nothing we can do to satisfy God. When God brings a rebel low, this is always the result. Look at what they do. Verse 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. I cried unto the Lord in my sin. I couldn't get out of it. There was nothing I could offer God. There was nothing I could give. He had every right to condemn me as a rebel. There was no hope for me. But what do? They cry unto Him. They cry unto the Lord. And what does He do? Well, I'll tell you what, you shouldn't have rebelled. you sorry, no good. Is that what He does? When a sinner comes with nothing, what does God do? Does He condemn him? Christ said, I came not to condemn the world. Why? It was already condemned. I don't need to condemn it twice. But to save. Isn't this the most gracious thing you ever heard? They cried. Who? Rebels. Haters of God. Brought to nothing. they come with nothing. What does He do to them? And He saved them out of their distresses. He saved them. God works submission in the soul. The rebel is brought down to nothing, and God comes in mercy and preaches the gospel of His Son. And this is the deliverance of the rebel, the fourth thing. When the rebel is made to see the vanity of his works, he comes, he cries unto God. And what is the answer of God? Is it not Christ? Isn't this always the answer for the rebel? Any rebels? Is there anyone in need, any treasonous sinner that needs help, hope, salvation? What is God's answer to those that cry unto Him? It is Christ. It is always Christ. It is His Son. Jesus is the light that gives life. Look what He does for them. He brought them out of darkness. You know, when God saved me, I saw no light of how I could be saved. I saw no hope of how I could be saved. Until what? Until I saw Christ. He's the light. He's the light in the darkness. I saw then how that God might be just and justify me. It's by Jesus Christ. He brought light into the darkness. He brought us out of the darkness and the shadow of death. And what did He do? He break our bands asunder. Verse 16, He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron. How did He do this? By bearing my sin in His own body on the tree, He completely extinguished the justice of God that was against me. Imagine a prisoner in jail. How then can he justly be set free unless the crime is paid for? The only way God can cut the bar. And notice He just didn't open the bars of iron. He cut them up. Isn't that wonderful? You can't be brought back into jail. You can't be put back in this dungeon. Why? They've been cut up. He cut the bars of iron. Why? Because He hath removed our sins from us. So that the law of God, the justice of God, can never come back on me. Therefore, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free slightly. Oh, you shall be free indeed. I love that illustration of the year of Jubilee. Remember, every 49th year on the great day of atonement, they said, in that year, those that sold themselves. Oh, what a picture that is. We who, like the prodigal son, we said, give me what's coming to me. And we took it and we spent it all. But you remember what happened to him when he came to the end of himself. There he is in the hog pen eating. The hogs are eating better than he is. And he says, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father's house and be a slave. What happened to that rebellious spirit? That spirit that took him out to the hog pen, it's gone, isn't it? And what does he want? Just make me a slave. Just please, just let me sleep outside with the servants. I'm not worthy to sleep in the house anymore. When he came back, how did the Father welcome him? How did the Father receive him? He said, Father, I have sinned against thee and against heaven. And the Father, shut up. He said, get the best robe and put it on. Put a ring on his finger. My son who was dead is now alive. We who were rebels brought to the end of ourselves, when Christ delivers us, He delivers us fully and completely from our sins. We are received in the presence of God even as Jesus is received. I don't know about you, but that is an amazing thought. That when I go to God, I am just as well received as His Son. Why? Because He brought this rebel low. And He saved me out of all my distresses. I don't know about you, but I feel distressed a lot. But truly, what do I have to be distressed about? Is there anything really that should distress me so much, seeing that I am free from all the guilt of my sin? I am free from the power of my sin. You know, my sin once enslaved me so that I could not believe on Christ and I could not love. But now it can't stop me. And one day I'll be free from the presence of it. Not yet. We still abide. That rebellious nature still sticks its head up, doesn't it? How often and daily does that rebellious nature defy and contemn the Word of God? Jonah did that, didn't he? Go to Nineveh. Nope. I'm going to go to Tarsus. But isn't this our constant experience in life? Him constantly putting down this rebellious old man? But look how sweetly He did it for Jonah. How often He did it for Israel. How often does He do it for us? I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I loved afar to roam. I was a rebel. The Father sought His sheep, found me nigh to death. Wandering, famished, faint, and lone. He bound this wandering sheep and brought me safely to the fold. Is this not reason to give thanks? What an amazing Savior. What an awesome work of God's grace. To take a rebel and make him a son. I pray that God be blessing this to your heart as it does mine. Pray God give us thankful hearts for what great things He's done for us. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Father, dismiss us with Your blessing and mercy. Pour out Your Spirit upon us. Exalt Christ in our minds and hearts for His wonderful work of redemption. Thank You for the work of Thy Spirit upon our hearts to bring down the rebel and in grace cause us to cry to Christ and find all we need, that He has delivered us. He has removed us from darkness and the bondage, saved us from the wrath of Thy hand. Help us to ever give praise and thanksgiving for His work and person. In His name I ask. Amen.